back home and be with you. We started this morning talking about building a better me when it comes to our worship. We said that we would give you over the course of the day 10 P's for our worship. And I'll go back over the first five for you real quick, and then we'll get into our latter five. We talked this morning about the privilege of worship. We need to think about who it is that we're worshiping. It is a privilege to come before the throne of God and to worship Him. We talked about the presence of worship, how a Christian needs to be present with the saints in order to worship as far as it goes on the first day of the week. We talked about the pattern of worship and how we are to worship according to God's pattern, and that's it. We talked about the purpose of worship, how it's vertical. Worship is about, number one, glorifying God. Number two, worship is able to enrich the worshiper. And so in that way, it's horizontal. We talked about the power of worship and how it is to build us up and what each part of worship does in helping us do that. Number six, the sixth P. When it comes to building a better me and my worship, I need to think about the preparation for worship. The preparation for worship. Friends, the word prepare means to get ready. The word preparation, hetomasia, only appears one time in the New Testament. We find it in Ephesians 6 and verse 15, where Paul begins to tell the Ephesian brethren there about the entire armor of God. Now the root word appears 18 times. Matthew 24:44, we see it there. In Titus 3 and verse 1, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, we see the root word for preparation many times within the New Testament. There are two things that we need to consider. We do our best to prepare for the things that are really important to us, don't we? If there's something that is extremely important to us, we're going to be prepared for it. Nobody goes and takes on Mount Everest without first having prepared, do they? They train for months. They make sure they got all the right equipment. They make sure they've got everything that they could possibly need on that trip up the mountain. They make sure they've got the right tent. They make sure they've got the right clothing. If they need any kind of artificial respiration, they make sure that they've got that. And so they're prepared to take that on. And friends, we do that in our day-to-day lives. Something that is extremely important to us, we're going to be prepared for it. Something else to consider along those lines, friends, that we need to remember is those that are best prepared are the ones that usually succeed. Those that are best prepared are the ones that usually succeed. Friends, we need to make, when it comes to our worship, if I want to be better in this area and worshiping my God, that I need to make sure that I make the physical preparation for worship. Those that lead in worship, those that would lead singing, lead in prayer, wait upon the Lord's Supper, whatever the case may be, preach a sermon. They need to be prepared. Oftentimes, can't you tell when someone gets up and leads in a part of worship and they haven't prepared a bit? Like a song leader, for instance. This is the first time when he gets up and he opens the book. He's just written down some numbers. And he opens the book and he begins to try to lead a song that he hadn't looked at in about 4 weeks. You can tell that, can't you? Need to be prepared. Worship leaders need to be prepared in that way. Friends, preparation for worship needs to begin early, doesn't it? You get the proper rest the night before. You study your lesson ahead of time. You create a routine that will help you eliminate an unholy huff in coming to worship. You think about Abraham. When God came to Abraham and He said to Abraham, you go and you offer your only begotten son. You go and you offer Isaac. You offer him as a burnt offering. What did Abraham do? He got up early the next morning, the Scripture says. He made the preparation. He made every effort to carry out God's command. We need to make physical preparation. But friends, as much as we need to make physical preparation for worship, we also need to make mental preparation for worship. Can one just walk in and flip a mental switch and start worshiping God? Has that ever been acceptable to the Lord without having prepared one's mind to worship Him? You can't do that. It's impossible to just flip that switch and worship God when you walk in the doors in the morning or in the evening, whatever the case may be. Friends, worship takes consecration. It takes dedication. It takes reverence. It takes sincerity. We need to take a look, so to speak, at our casual approach to worshiping God. We need to be sure that we're in the right frame of mind when we approach His throne. That we have made the mental preparation to worship Him. Friends, you go back and you look at the law of Moses and everything the priests had to do, both physically and mentally, to get ready to worship God. We think we can just throw on some clothes, hop in a car, walk in the door, and worship God on a Sunday. It doesn't work like that. If I want to be better tomorrow than I am today when it comes to my worship, I need to make preparation for it, both physically and mentally. Consider the participation of worship, number 7. The participation of worship. Friends, one's attitude is going to determine how he worships God. One's attitude is going to determine how he worships God. Friends, worship is not a fashion show. It's not a purpose, not a time for us to get together and show off the new clothes that we bought on Saturday. That's not the reason we come together on Sunday morning. Now, is there anything wrong with someone wearing a new suit or a new dress on Sunday that they bought on Saturday? No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But that's not the purpose that we get together. That's not the purpose I come in this building. Hey, look what I got. It's not a fashion show. It's not a talk-a-thon. That is, we don't come together to talk one another's ears off. It's not nap time, friends, and it's definitely, definitely not show time in this age of entertainment. We talked about this morning, our worship and our Bible class, our worship is not to be a production. It's not to be a Broadway show. We're here to worship God. That's why we're here. The fellowship is a byproduct of that. Being able to have that fellowship with one another, to encourage one another. So friends, let me ask you this. How should we view worship? How should we view worship? Friends, this is the most important thing, I believe, of this particular lesson. I want you to turn with me, and I don't want you to miss these passages. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Peter writes, "Ye also, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood," here is our purpose. This is why you and I come together to worship God. "To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ," or in other words, by His authority. And so we have this time set aside to come together to worship God. This is how we should view it. This is our time to offer up spiritual sacrifices by the authority of Jesus Christ that are acceptable unto the God of heaven. Let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And look with me at verse 15. "By Him, therefore," talking about Jesus Christ, again, "by His authority, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Friends, when we come together to worship the Father, to approach the throne of the God of heaven, it is a privilege. It is is an honor. It is our duty. But friends, we need to remember why we're here. To glorify God. I don't think anybody can say it any better than Solomon did in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. This is the whole of man, to fear God and keep His commandments. To fear God and keep His commandments. Friends, when we think about the participation of worship, worship is more than just showing up and sitting in a pew. We need to get out and understand to a degree the vocabulary, and understand the sentiment. But friends, we do need to get out of this I'm going to church mentality. You are the church. We're going to worship. We're going to worship the Father in heaven. We're going to sit before His throne as we gather around the Lord's table. That's what I'm going to do. There's more to it than just coming together and sitting in a pew. I need to participate in that worship to please God. I need to participate in that worship to be edified. I need to be to participate in that worship to glorify God. Let me ask some questions. The song leader asked me to turn, or tells us to turn to a song number, and I turn and I look, and maybe it's a song that I'm not necessarily all that familiar with. Whether it's during our time of worship or whether it's during our singing, do I try to learn it? Or do I try to sing? Do I make sure that it's scriptural? And if I know that it's scriptural, am I singing it? And am I participating in that way? Am I praying? Or does my mind wander when someone is up here leading us in that prayer? Am I giving as I ought to? Am I focusing on the Lord's death when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Am I learning as we open our Bibles and we study together? Am I striving to dig deeper into the Scriptures and get a better understanding of God's Word? Friends, worship is more than just opening a psalm book. Worship is more than just sitting through a sermon. It's more than swallowing some bread. It's more than swallowing some juice. It's more than bowing my head or putting some money in the plate. It's more than that. Where is my heart as I'm participating in those things? We'll talk more about the heart here in a moment. Friends, worship is only acceptable when one sincerely participates, Psalm 29 and verse 2. In other words, as we kind of left off with this morning, am I giving God my all? And if I haven't given God my all and my worship to Him, then friends, I seriously need to ask, has my worship been acceptable? Because God deserves everything I've got to give. Number 8. The problem of worship. Problem of worship. Friends, the reality is that not everyone that fills a pew is going to be blessed, so to speak. Some leave complaining, well, I didn't get anything out of worship today. Friends, oftentimes we can answer that with, they didn't bring anything to put into it. They didn't give of themselves. They didn't put themselves into the worship. So friends, let me ask this. Why have we come together today? Why have you come today? Did you come this morning or did you come this evening out of a sense of duty? Have you been sleepwalking through service? Friends, when we do that, when we don't participate as we ought and we don't give God our all in our worship, we have shown God just how much we love Him on that occasion. Think about that for a moment. How does God see our worship? Friends, we'll always find what we are looking for in worship. We can find sour notes or we can find praise. We can find mistakes or we can find life lessons. It's a whole lot easier to criticize than to worship God sincerely. So friends, worship takes preparation. It takes commitment. It takes effort. In other words, friends, worship, true worship unto God is going to take discipline. And if I'm going to be better tomorrow with my worship than I am today, I need to understand this problem. Let's direct our worship heavenward. Worship the God of heaven. Don't focus on the surroundings, how many verses the song leader leads, how the reader may have mispronounced a word, or the preacher mistakenly gave a wrong reference. Now, if he needs to be corrected, by all means, correct him. Let's not be focused, you know, upon those things. My focus needs to be upon God. Whatever it is that you hope to accomplish in worship, you're going to accomplish it. So did we come to watch or did we come to worship? Let's direct our worship heavenward. Worship the God of heaven, Revelation 2 and verse 9. Frank, I want us to think as well about the place of worship. About the place of worship. Now we've come together today at 901 North Main Street for the express purpose of worshiping our God. But I submit to you this evening, that's not the place of worship. The place of worship is in the heart of every Christian. The heart is the place of worship. Worship is a matter of the heart. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our heart is the key to our worship. Let's look at a few things. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. God expressly mentions there the heart when it comes to our singing. So we sing with our heart. That's where the melody is made. Look with me at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Friends, we don't always have to pray out loud, do we? Sometimes we offer silent prayers. So friends, I would submit to us as well that when it comes to our worship unto God, that we pray with the heart. We need to be sincere in our prayers, in other words. Bold going before the throne of God. We pray with our hearts. We give with our hearts. Do we not? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. We are to lay aside every one of us as we have been given, that God has given us, as we've been blessed, we are to lay by in store. And God says that He loves a cheerful giver. Friends, that sounds like a matter of the heart. And so we give with our hearts. We observe the Lord's Supper with our hearts. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. When we break the bread, when we drink of the fruit of the vine. Friends, we are to go back to the cross. In our mind's eye, we ought to be able to see the things that Jesus suffered. And remember that He went through all that. He suffered all of that. For you and for me. That was His entire purpose upon this earth, was to die upon the cross and rise again the third day so that you and I might have the opportunity to have eternal life. We observe the Lord's Supper with our hearts. And friends, we study with our hearts. Where did David say he hid the Word of God? Psalm 119 and verse 11. In his heart. We are to store it away. We study with our hearts. And so the place of worship, friends, if we want to be better when it comes to our worship tomorrow than we are today, we need to keep in mind and live it, friends, that our place of worship is not necessarily, it's the place where we gather, 901 North Main Street. But the place of worship is in the heart of every Christian as we come together. Finally, number 10. Consider the person of worship. Consider the person of worship. Friends, here's a big question for us, and one we need to consider. God being deity, God being perfect, God being the God of heaven, He being the Creator, how can I worship God acceptably when my life isn't acceptable before Him? Acceptable living is the key to acceptable worship. If I'm going to be better in my worship tomorrow than I am today, then it may be that when I leave here this evening, I need to start living better tomorrow than I am today, in accordance with the will of God. Because, friends, if I am not what I need to be in the sight of God, then my worship is not acceptable unto Him. We need to remember that the God of heaven, while He is the God of love, He's also a just God. That is the person that we worship. You think of David and the times that David messed up, that he faltered. David realized that his worship needed to cost him something. You remember him at the threshing floor of Araunah. Araunah was just going to give him everything that he needed. David said he wouldn't give to God anything that didn't cost him something. Friends, we need to remember, David realized that his worship was not going to be acceptable unto God until atonement was made. Friends, fortunately, atonement has been made for you and us. We still have a responsibility to live right. We have a responsibility to obey the God of heaven, to obey the word that He has given us because of who He is. Friends, I cannot live apart from God and still feel close to Him. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Peter writes, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Friends, according to what Peter writes there, we've got one of two, we can make one of two choices. We can get right with God if we're not already. Or we can continue to live in sin and His face will be against us. And the reason for that is, friends, is because of the person of God and who He is. Because of His character. There is no other way to come to the God of heaven except through the man, Jesus Christ. And the sooner that we all realize that, the better off we'll be. So if we will be better tomorrow than we are today when it comes to our worship, remember who it is that we're worshiping. Remember the person of our worship. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, consider Enoch from Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. We don't know a whole lot about old Enoch, do we? We know about how old he was when God took him. We know who he was concerning the family tree. But probably the best thing about Enoch is what is said of him and God. He walked with God and God took him. Two men. Ever to walk the face of the earth, never had the taste of death. One was Enoch, the other was Elijah. Now friends, if we were to die today, I don't think a greater epitaph can be put upon one's headstone than to say, and maybe this would be all that it says, because this is all that is said of Enoch. He walked with God. Could that be said of you this evening? Would you not want that to be how you were remembered? Here we are reading of Enoch some 5,000-6,000 years later, and that's all we know of the man, but that's good enough. I bet old Enoch could worship God as he ought to, and I bet his worship was acceptable. So friends, if we walk with God and we worship Him as we ought, we can be assured that we can be better tomorrow than we are today. Walk with Him and worship Him. Worship Him and walk with Him. That's a continual process, friends. Something we are to do continually. I believe we just sang the song when we walk with the Lord. I believe that was tonight. It may have been this morning, but we sang it today. In the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Could that be said of you this evening, friends? He walks with God. Friend, if you're here this evening, and that's not how you think that you might be remembered, why not this evening make a change? It may be that you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why not this very night, this very evening, put Christ on in baptism, confessing Him as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sin and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Would you do that this evening? Would you be His? Friend, it may be that you're here and you've done that. Do you know what God's Word says? You repented at some point in your life after having believed upon Him that He is the Son of the living God. You confessed Him as the Son of God and you were baptized. You came in contact with His blood. But friends, you failed to walk in the light. Would you be His again? Would you come home? Friends, we can be better tomorrow than we are today if we put in the effort and we strive to walk in the light of God. Friend, would you do that this evening? Would you put Christ on in baptism? Or would you repent of sin? Or maybe, friends, you just need the prayers of the church. Whatever the case, we ask that you come.